is The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Yeah, baby. Welcome, welcome. All are welcome.
Poltergeist 2, I think. Isn't that a poltergeist?
I think you're correct.
Welcome, welcome, all are welcome. The little short lady?
Yep.
This house is clean. Really? The little girl just got sucked into the TV.
Between her and the tall guy.
Oh, dude.
The minister.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Oh, he had a deaf look about him.
Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Jimmy Dunn is in studio with us. Also, fellow comedian Andrew Della Volpe is here. Seems like a nice guy. We just met him today.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's a good dude. Yeah. I heard good things about him.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what we're talking about with the Poltergeist 2 thing?
No. I remember the movie, and I remember them, you know, the person goes in the television or something.
Yep. Yeah, little girl.
Yeah,
but the second one is better.
I'm a comedy movie.
Yeah.
I watch two kinds of movies, comedies or something with a bag of money.
Okay.
You know, okay. I like bag of money movies.
Yeah, you mean that you get the money?
No. Someone steals a bag of money and then you follow it around. The bag. It's a ruse.
Yeah, speaking of funny movies, Laura, big fan of Ricky Spinicki. Did you see that and did you enjoy it?
Not Spinicki.
Ricky Spinicki.
Spinicki, sorry, my bad.
I know a little something about Ricky Spinicki, so my buddy wrote it. And a couple of my buddies were in it. And that movie basically was based on a friend of mine does this dirty Neil Diamond show where he sings as Neil Diamond.
That. Yeah.
Only dirty songs.
Oh yeah. I would like that actually.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Right.
And that was the basis for the actor in that what's his name? Cena plays.
John Cena. Yep.
In Stinicky.
These guys have been trying to get me to watch it. I just can't. Have you seen it, Andrew? Have you seen it?
I've seen it. I love it.
Did you really?
Hilarious.
Yeah. Old school comedy. Back
Okay. Yeah.
I trust.
I've been telling them.
No.
However many months, how great it is. It's just so.
And she used a key word. She goes, "It's your kind of movie," which to me. We like a lot of the same comedy.
We do.
It's not this new comedy where let's be careful of everybody's feelings. It's at times wrong.
I know he's a Newbury, Mass guy. I know he's a local guy. I want to pull for him, but Cena, I have a hard time warming up to Cena.
He's phenomenal.
That's what they say.
You're doing the Oscars.
He's
funny.
He's phenomenal in this movie. And like I said, my friend wrote the movie, so I'm watching it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know.
But I watched it, and I was like, oh, wow. Okay. He is really good.
Okay. And I thought he was hilarious in the Cock Blockers.
In an episode of The Bear, too, right? A couple episodes of The Bear.
Kelly, you've been enamored since you saw him naked at the Oscars.
No, he was funny.
He was funny. I agree. That was ballsy to do, to get out there. Did you see that, by the way?
I didn't. Fill me in.
No, he actually presented an award. I can't remember what it was. And he came out naked with like a little piece of...
He was covered
in front. Yeah, but even the side shot, Laura, he was naked, but he had a little loincloth.
He had a thing on, yeah.
Yeah, but still, even that at the Oscars, that's brave, dude. Yes. I'm sorry.
I knew him as being a wrestler and stuff, and I saw a few things here and there, but Cock Blockers was hilarious. That was the first time that I went, holy crap.
What is that?
He's a teenage dad to a girl, and it's prom night, and somehow him and the other parents.
Wait a minute, there's a movie called Cock Blockers.
It shows the hen and it's blockers, so they they can put it. But it's Cock Blockers,
and they realize,
oh my God, the whole gang's gonna go try to lose their virginity tonight.
Right.
So all the parents are doing the best to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay, all right, yeah. So I've never seen it. So,
I have, and we can do anything on the podcast,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can, right, yeah.
I have Brian's performance as Dirty Diamond. I got a little bit of it right here. Now, I don't know how it will come across.
Okay, all right. And so this is your buddy who does the Dirty Neil Diamond.
He does a Dirty Neil Diamond, and it's it's filthy.
Okay.
We all right with that?
Yeah. I mean, what are we talking here?
It's filthy.
Okay.
I think you showed me before you left.
We'll find it. Okay, all right.
We'll see.
All right.
All right, let me see.
Superstar. He couldn't make it, but we have his number one impersonator, everybody. Please welcome to the stage the one, the only, Mr. Dirty Diamond.
Dirty Diamond. Okay. All right.
Oh.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. Geez. We could use that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We definitely use that. Not a problem.
There it goes, because you showed me a couple months ago.
I'm going to have to find it. But he.
It's something to look forward to. Is it on the internet so people can go look at it?
It's out there somewhere, okay. but I think Brian even took it down because it was so much.
Are we looking like Valby? Are we talking Valby?
It's like Valby. It's if Neil Diamond was a pervert, and it's actual Neil Diamond songs.
Yeah.
Really good.
If you don't know who John Valby is, he was, I remember getting a cassette tape somebody handed me back in the old days saying, you got to listen to this guy. He's hilarious. He's really dirty. And he just basically sang these hilarious little stupid rhymes that were the, you know, let me introduce you to my friend Lena. Lena who? Lena up against the wall. We'll have a gangbang. It was like, that was his dirty stuff. And it was like all really, really dirty, filthy. And the only way you got it, this is in the early days now. Yeah. Here's a cassette.
Yeah.
I recorded it off another cassette. So anyway.
Go see him at the ballroom. Yeah, he played the ballroom. I opened
many
for him
times. And I was there. I went there. I was bringing him on. So he wanted me to knock on the door. Door opens up. Dude opens up the door. No pants on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I look down. I look up. And he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good. Good. You must be John. I'm Greg. I'm hosting the show. Good to meet you. He's shaking my hand. All the while, there's nothing on down here.
Nothing.
It's like as clean as that. I'm like, wow, that's a weird way. And the door back then faced the back of the stage. So people were there.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing. He was very nice. He didn't do anything unusual other than answering the door naked.
He just wanted to keep a crease in his pants, though. No, that's showbiz.
You don't see that every day.
No.
You don't see that every day. What's the weirdest thing that ever happened to you backstage, Scotty?
Slayer played, when a lot of the grunge bands were taking over, a lot of the metal bands. Like,
yeah.
We've been playing larger places to smaller venues, and Slayer played the Hampton Beach Casino. And I wanted to go backstage and quickly meet them, and they were she said, you can't go back there right now. They're branding people.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, if anybody goes in, they're just like, ah, we got you.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'd rather you didn't go in. And the other one was Kevin James.
Yeah.
Did a quick show and wanted to get out. And the person who was in charge of the meet and greet said, I want you to really meet him. And I was like, I'm okay. I don't need to. And when I went back there, at first he's like, I want to get out of here. I got a flight to catch. And then I'm kind of just standing there. And he went, oh, hey, cool. Hey, man, what's going on? And I was
no.
Yeah.
I've seen some. Yeah.
We also went on the bus when Saliva was fighting, and they stopped fighting. And we did, oh, hey, great. Thanks for emceeing the show. We can't wait to be part of it. And they were all cool. And then when we stepped back off the bus, you could hear them yelling at each other again.
Oh, yeah. I walked down in the middle of a Jay Giles Band fight. The whole band.
Legendary.
I'm walking. I've got like five listeners behind me. It was the night of Lend a Helping Hand. Remember the last night I went to the Jay Giles show? And I brought them down the new circular stairway to the dressing room. I'm a huge Jay Giles fan, Andrew. Love him. I mean, love him. And Peter Wolf is one of my favorites. And I know there's a lot of discord in the band. So I knock on the door and I open it up because they knew we were coming, and they're arguing about, like, they just didn't get along at all. Seth Justman, Danny Joe Klein, Jay Giles was not in the band, and they're arguing. And every head in the room turns and looks at us. And does that? What Scotty just said? Oh, hey!
Hey, man, how's it going? Yeah, hey, band talking.
And it was the most awkward. I did not want to be in the group photo because it was the most awkward thing. It was very uncomfortable. There was that happened. Scotty and I walked in to meet Chelsea Handler, and she asked us for blow.
She never got off the couch.
Yeah.
And she had a tank top on.
Yeah.
She was busting out. And she was all like, hey, you guys know where I can get it? We can get any coke.
She was with the guy from entertainment TV. She was going out with the president.
And it was like, no.
Do I look like a blow guy? Do I look like the guy who's got a mountain of coke in my pocket?
Backstage, everybody looks like a blow guy.
Everybody
does. I don't know.
Who's your blow guy?
Yeah, I'm as far away. Hey, you know the rock and roll doctor? Chris Garrett? Yeah, he does afternoons. He's the rock and roll doctor. Yeah, can you get me in touch with him? Scotty's like, he's not that kind of rock and roll doctor, you idiot. Yeah.
I didn't know. That was great. You guys know where I get a rock doctor? And Greg's like, oh, the doctor of rock? He gets off the air at 7. He's coming. I think he's coming to the show. What do you need him for? And the guy's like, yeah, no. No, we're good.
You don't have any backstage stories?
No, like just Buzzball breaking a bottle of beer. I did that.
Yeah, you've done that.
To clean up the mess, and Adam was walking around barefoot, and I didn't want him to.
Didn't you drop like a few cans or bottles coming up the stairs when you got there?
Yeah. Last year I brought bottles. It's been cans ever since.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
Laura, any backstage stories?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. No. I don't know if I ever told this because I couldn't tell it on the air. This is gross. I want you to say this is gross, but
like,
this is
like
1,000% true. I swear.
All right. You shit your pants?
No. That's not.
We'll talk about that later.
Never happened, but that's good.
It's okay if it has. It happened to me. Remember?
So I'm at one of those 80s shows where there's like four or five bands, right? And I'm going to be going up on stage in between, you know, Slaughter, yeah!
Just,
you know.
In the 80s crazy. Or this is after the 80s?
This is after the 80s.
Okay.
So it's now a package tour and like Skid Row and whatever.
Yeah.
So, and one of the bands is Skid Row. So I'm on the side. If for those of you that have never been in the Casino Ballroom, I've never told this story before. The Casino Ballroom is a long room, and you're not looking all the way down it. You're looking from the sides at the stage, right? It's an unusual setup.
Yep.
But I love it. Anyway, I'm to the left. If you're on the stage, I'm on the right.
Yep.
At the end of the ramp, because at the end of this band, I'm going to run up there. And I'm standing there, and there's next to me, I'm leaning against the wall and staying out of everybody's way, the roadies. You don't want to get in their way.
No.
And there's a guy leaning next to me, and it's a guy from Skid Row, and he's got his arms draped over this chick, and she's, you know, sitting there. And she's kind of leaning against him. And they start getting after it a little bit, you know, and I'm just watching the show. I'm not paying any attention. And then they leave. They walk off. They go down the steps. They go out to the bus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the show, and all of a sudden, the guy comes back alone. Okay, the guy comes back alone. He walks up, and I look. He's walking. Doesn't say anything to me. I don't even exist. I don't even know who this guy is. And he walks right past me. And then there's the space where he was standing with the girl. And then there's another guy that's in the band. And he walks up, doesn't say a word, and he just puts two of his fingers under the guy's nose.
Oh.
And the guy, I thought. Oh. Was gonna vomit, and I just was kind of like, I just put my head down, and I thought that is so.
That's rock and roll.
That's rock and roll. And then they both just busted out laughing, and I had to laugh because I was like, I didn't know what else to do.
Yep.
But it was like, yep, that was a proud moment for that guy. Yep, that was it.
Now, many years ago at the Casino, Andy brought on Slaughter.
Yep,
and it was one other band, and then Vince Neil was supposed to headline. Vince Neil didn't make it. So they had Andy go up and make the announcement.
Whoa.
So Andy goes up on stage and he introduces.
This caused a problem.
He goes up on stage and he's like, "Hey, everybody, got good news. I got bad news. The bad news is Vince Neil cannot make it tonight, and the good news is he didn't kill anybody this time because it was involved
in
an accident.
Car wreck.
Because he was in a car wreck and he killed somebody. So he walks off stage and the guys from Slaughter are.
Horrified.
Laughing their ass off. So the road manager goes, "Nice job." And he goes, Andy said something. And who are you again? I'm Roadkill from the Morning Buzz. So years later, I go to do a show at the Casino. I'm supposed to bring the band down. And the guy goes, "No.
Yeah.
You're not going up on stage, funny man." I had no idea. And then later on, Andy's like, "Dude, I told him I was you."
But they went after Andy that night. The manager of Vince Neil's, "You'll never in his face." You know, typical road manager jerk.
Yep.
You know, and not that they all are, but some of them are just out of control.
Just comes with a gig, though.
And he was defending his guy.
Yeah.
He was defending his guy.
But Andy's like, "Oh
my God." Oh my God.
I got good news and bad news. The bad news is he's not coming. The good news is he got in a car wreck. The good news is this time he didn't kill anybody.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Oh. Yeah. And,
If we're doing casino stories, I'll tell you
now
one.
You guys must have some. I mean, you know.
I've had many, and, you know, I mean, I've got a history.
And you don't want to get anybody. Yeah, I get
No,
it.
No, no. I got a history at the casino, and I like I said, it's one of my favorite venues in the world
because
it's right down the street.
Right.
And it was there when I was a kid, and I'd sit on the back stairs and listen to Buddy Hackett. Man, I love the casino. I love everything about it. And when I was a young comic, I weaseled my way into opening some of the shows there, thanks to my brother being the head bouncer there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm opening up for. I think it was 38 Special. Oh. And I got
hold on loosely.
Yeah, I got no business being on this stage. You know, I've got to do 20 minutes, and it's just to fill 20 minutes. I barely got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
And I'm
I would think every comedian does at some point.
Yeah,
right?
And when
there have been some times opening for Jimmy Dunn where it goes bad and I go, well, here comes all the jokes I've ever written.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And when it's going bad, your 30 minutes turns into 7 minutes.
Yeah,
it just gets truncated, you know. So I'm up there bombing. And I'm just looking at my watch now at this point. And this guy right up front, everybody was seated, and this guy right up front, he picks up one of those plastic table tents. The little sign that says free beer or whatever.
Yeah.
Picks it up.
They're called table talkers.
Table talkers?
Yes.
You suck! Throws the thing at my head, and it whizzes right by my ear.
Yeah.
And it just misses me. I didn't see it because you can't see anything when you're on that stage up there. And I go, who did that? Who did that? I did. You suck! And I go, you know what, buddy? You're right. I'm not the best tonight. Here's the bad news for you, though. My little brother is the head bouncer of this establishment.
Yeah.
And you are about to hit steps 13, 11, 7, 5, and then Ocean Boulevard.
Yeah,
and
right.
On command, my brother and Bull grab this guy. Boom, 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 right down the front stairs.
That's how they did it back
then. That's how they did it back then. And I literally looked at my watch and went, 6 minutes. Anybody else want to tell me how I'm doing?
Oh, that's good. That is good. That is good. People are just brutal. Like, there was nothing worse when Andy got up on stage when somebody yelled, you suck, and my heart broke. I mean, just brutal. You know, the you suck thing. I would never, a comedian can be bad. I've seen bad comedians. I would never yell that.
You're not there to see 38 special, man. People are there to see 38 special.
But sometimes it's on the
promoter. You know, like I shouldn't be in front of it. You know, you're just
Jimmy. It's on the person that yells it.
I agree. Don't do that. Yeah. But also, you know, you didn't put me in a position to succeed.
Right. That's for sure.
But we're talking about Valby. I opened those Valby shows, and I mean, those are the filthiest shows, and they would be banging. Same with Frank Santos Sr.
Yeah.
When I was a young comic and I would open up for Frank, they'd be banging on the tables going, Frank, 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 and a guy come out, you ready for Frank? Yeah!
Yeah.
Well, before, we got a really funny comedian.
right.
Dead. You're dead.
Yeah. No, see, the key is when you get up to do that, you say, Frank's coming out in a little while, but first we got you do it that way. You don't set up the person to fail.
Right.
You don't want to bring out a new comedian when they, you know, look, and you're same thing with a band.
Yeah.
You don't say, who's the Tesla's ready to go?
But first.
Here's acoustic Adam Ezra. You don't do that.
Yeah.
You just don't do it. So backstage, you got any like backstage scoop stuff?
Well, I got one similar. One of my first gigs doing a set out Western Mass. A guy tries to fight me. Thinks I'm talking about the Marines. I don't even mention the troops.
Right.
I'm talking about my mom. I'm talking about living at home as a millennial. Guy yells, I'm going to kill you. I go, oh, I'm a patriot. I love the troops too.
Yeah.
Get off stage. Sticking around. This gig. The guy goes, oh, stick around. Have a drink. Hang out. I go, I think I'm going to take off. I go, stick around. Guy finally comes up to fight me. One of the other comedians goes, hey, kid, what are you talking about the troops for? I'm like, hey, Frank Santorelli, how about a little help?
Yeah, right. No shit.
The guy from the
Sopranos.
Yeah. Frank Santorelli. He was standing outside, who now we're great friends, but this guy's this Marine who thinks I've been talking about
Get that impression? Where would he?
Who knows, right?
People hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know that. People hear what they want to hear.
Yeah. I had, back when Weymouth Air Force Base was an Air Force base, I did a show there at a club on base. And I was bombing, and these guys up front were heckling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, he goes, yeah, you suck. And it's like, you know, that under.
I know.
And I go.
I know.
No. I go, you know what? You're right. I'm not very funny. But tell you what, man, when I'm done, I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to sleep in a bed with a woman. You signed up to sleep with these guys for the next 4 years, right?
How'd that go over?
We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you, right? Yeah, so I'm like, oh, now I'm in big trouble, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle. I got to do my time.
Yeah.
That's the one way they don't pay you. is if you don't do your time.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my watch, and I am literally at the 20-minute mark.
Right.
And I am in the middle of a joke.
Yeah.
And I go, enjoy the headliner. Good night.
Yeah.
Boom. And I run, and the whole table gets up, and they chase me.
Yeah.
They chase me out to my car, and I remember it vividly. They're punching the hood of my little Volkswagen.
Yeah.
As I'm as I'm blasting off, off campus to get to. Yeah.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Had a guy show up at a bowl. I was at the bowl-a-thon. Like the Dover Bowl is where I was. Doing rock and roll. I'm playing music like freaking radio DJ, stupid dork. This is like 30 years ago. And music's thumping, you know, and kids are bowling. And this guy comes over, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And I'm like, and I knew who the guy was.
Why?
And I'm like, that's what I said. I'm like, why?
Because
I don't like your attitude. He didn't like the fact that I didn't like his girlfriend. And I made no secret about it. I didn't like her at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Still not a fan. But anyway, he comes over and he's going to fight me. And this guy would stomp me like a narc at a biker rally. I did not stand a chance against this guy. And I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking I'm gonna eat it, but I'm gonna go down. You know, I'm not gonna back down from this guy.
Yeah.
I said, oh, that's cool. You're gonna beat me up. Wow. Wow, that's gonna be hard. So what do you get out of that? Well, I start going at him like, what are you gonna beat me up for what? Like I said something, I never said anything publicly. You just know that I don't get along with her. That's all you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm giving him shit, and I'm thinking, and once he's going to clock me, I'm going to be unconscious. And I just stood up to the guy, and I'm like, you know, beating me up is not something you're going to be proud of.
Mm.
Kicking my ass, there's no way. You're way tougher than I am. I admit it.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of unplugged, and he just sort of, like, all the air went out of his balloon.
Yeah,
like
they had sex,
and then we had it was good sex too. Great though, sex. Long lasted a long time.
And he still sends cards.
Yeah, but no, it was weird. Like when somebody tells you they're gonna kick your ass, you got to prepare to your ass kicked.
But when you hear it when you're on stage and you're still entertaining people for another 15 minutes, and you go, yeah,
can't even fathom it.
I had one. I started a riot at a comedy fundraiser down in Rhode Island.
Yeah, but that's what you do with fundraisers. Yeah,
well, right. It was a Little League fundraiser, and this
of course it was.
And this woman wouldn't shut up. Right, she's up front and she won't shut up, and she's yelling. And so I'm like, I'm being nice. I'm going, hey, can you please? I want to do a show. And and she's drunk and she's trying to interject. And I go, no, listen, please. I'm trying to entertain people, and we don't need your nonsense. And then I kind of, you know, and that's usually how I'll handle the first one.
Yeah.
But then I throw a couple of insults, and then it gets bad. And I go, lady, if you don't shut up, I'm leaving, right? And then the woman across the way from her goes, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
And then her husband says, what'd you say to Mike? And
oh, God.
And it's down in Rhode Island. They all know each other.
Yeah.
They all don't like each other already.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them goes across and boom, and the bench is clear. Oh, man, yeah. Like... Everybody's
the bullpen's empty.
Yeah, and the bullpen's empty. Everybody squares off, right?
Yeah.
And I got a code word when my wife's in the room, and if I say it on stage, that means meet me at the car.
Yeah, right.
And we've had to use it a few times.
Yeah,
and so I said it, and she's gone, and we get out to the car,
pineapple.
By the time I get in the car, I'm driving. I call the guy who booked the gig. And I go, hey man, I'm sorry about that. I probably could have handled that better. You know, I didn't mean to incite
in
that.
In the background, it sounds like there's a twister.
I know. No, it was PJ. It was my buddy PJ Thibodeau. He goes, dude, there are 6 police units here.
Yeah,
they're taking people out in handcuffs.
Dude,
turned out one of the guys was a cop.
Yeah,
and he's throwing punches, and he ended up losing his pension. The whole thing.
Rhode Island is like Saugus, except a lot of them are connected to the mob.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of mob action in the Providence area.
And I'm driving home, calling him, going, hey, man, I'm sorry about that. He goes, there's 6 police units here, dude.
That's crazy.
And the poor guy that owned the restaurant, he had just 2 hours earlier given us a dinner and opened up a bottle of wine for my wife. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That's nuts.
I kicked this hornet's nest.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
People are crazy. I saw a video. You watch videos online of people getting out of control. And when people start... There's nothing worse for me going to a show, whether it's a comedian or whether it's a band or an acoustic thing, where the person in the audience thinks they're part of the show.
Yeah.
And they're going to call back and forth. Jesus, for the love of God, shut up.
Yes.
Yeah, I said, Kevin Martin from Candlebox got into it with someone in the audience that wouldn't shut up. And finally I yelled to the guy, shut up!
Yeah.
For God's sake. And but Kevin was also, he made it worse.
Yep.
Instead of just ignoring the guy and going on, and it ruined the show.
But it is difficult to ignore the guy. When and the worst kind of heckler is the one that's in the first few rows.
Yeah, right.
The audience can't hear them,
yeah,
but they're yelling at every single thing you say. Yeah. It ruins your night. It, yep, ruins your rhythm.
Yep.
And you're just like, would you shut up? Would you shut up? And you can also have 300 people that, yep, love you and one person chirping. Yeah. And you want to kill that person.
I think the front of the stage should be lined with blow darts facing the audience. And if you mouth off, I press F7 and you get it in the neck.
Use the old Van Halen grid system.
You got a dart in your neck.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And those are only some of the stories. We did a get together. I don't know what you want to call it. It was me, Chris Garrett, Andy Herrick,
yep,
from the Casino Ballroom, sure, and Andrew Gavazos, a longtime record rep who worked with a million people. And we told backstage stories.
Yeah,
at the Courier Museum of Art in their lecture hall downstairs, and it was sold out. And we told all these different stories, and hearing some of the ones that they had and then I had, it was like crowd ate it up. People love that backstage stuff.
The backstage history of the Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom, and I was part of that about a 15-year run where, like you said, there were no cameras, there were no cell phones, and that was back when bouncers were bouncers. Obviously, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
But just the stories from, I mean, if that building could talk, the history of that building is, I mean, amazing. Some of the people that have come through that venue.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes all the way back to the 1930s. Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
You know? Frank Sinatra. I mean, Limp Bizkit,
yep,
played the Casino Ballroom. And the entire crowd would break stuff, right?
Like, yeah,
the crowd's jumping up and down. Honestly, they were terrified that they were going through the floor.
Right through down to Funorama.
No joke.
I know.
It was terrifying to watch. And the stuff, and they did stuff
almost
backstage.
Almost became Limbo-rama.
Yeah.
they did stuff backstage. I can't say it.
Yeah.
But it is, wow. And it happened in a blink of an eye. All of a sudden, things are out of control. And it had nothing to do with the casino.
And that's just our venue that we're privy to.
Right, I know.
That goes, yeah, on in every venue around the world.
Or it did. But it now did. It's totally
now
different.
It's a different thing now.
Yeah.
Now you got to have the right kind of tea back there or they're not going to play.
We had Angus Young and Brian Johnson,
yeah,
on with us, AC/DC.
Yeah.
And I asked about the glass center in the stage. Did you know about that?
No.
So they had a stage where the front it was a floor of glass, and they had roadies bringing in beautiful women.
Yep.
They'd pick them out of the audience, they'd bring them in, and during the encore, they went down there and did what they wanted to do, and
yep,
they, you know, right there and that's what's got. And I asked them in the interview, is that true?
Mm.
And they hemmed and hawed and laughed about it, and they would not answer it.
Of course not, because they're going to get sued now.
Yeah, which means, yeah, it was craziness.
The story with the Van Halen story was that they would give the roadies special passes.
Yeah, right.
And they would go out and find the most beautiful women.
Yep.
And if somebody in the band slept with that woman that night, they would look at the back of the pass and they'd give that roadie $100 the next day.
Yeah.
So these guys would go down and find,
right,
you know, and then on top of that, they had literally had a grid system,
yeah,
where Roth would go C7, the redhead.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy times.
Oh, the good old days.
Andrew was sitting here wishing he was born like 30 years earlier.
Yeah, I missed out.
Yeah.
Now I go, you know what? Oh, yeah, I can't wait till this show's over. You know why? I'm going to get a sandwich. Get a nice roast beef.
That's it. Well, I love the backstage stories. I could talk about them all day, but this is all we have time for. We got an appointment. We're filming today. Doing a little filming.
What are you filming?
A little thing for a sponsor thing.
All right.
I mean, am I right? That's what's going on.
Yeah.
We'll get a film part of it. Yeah. Lend a Helping Can thing.
Okay.
Kind of, yeah. But, all right, so you're off, right? You don't have any shows this weekend.
The first show I have is the Hampton Beach Comedy Festival. We're going to do 6 nights. Andrew's on that.
Yeah.
We're going to do 6 nights with 6 comedians every night.
Nice.
Down at McGurk's, down on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Little 150-seat venue. It's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
All my favorite comics from New England are coming up.
Best weekend of summer.
It is. It's a blast. And we get together with friends, and it's a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a whole bunch of theater stuff lined up in the next couple of months.
Yep.
All of it's at jimmydunn.com. Andrew will be on some of those shows as well.
Where's your next gig, Andrew? Where are you going to be at?
You can find me at andrewdelvope.com, and I'm in Boston, Cambridge, every night of the week.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Excellent. Good to meet you, man. We'll see you again sometime. Thanks. Good luck to you. Jimmy, welcome home.
Thank you, brother.
Good to have you home.
Good to see you. Good to be back.
Kelly Brown, welcome to the show.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the beer, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, I got Kelly a beer. Yeah.
Frazier.
Did you see what's it's Kelsey's beer.
Faith American Ale.
That means he didn't own it. He makes it. That's his beer, right?
Yeah. No, Kelsey. Yeah, Kelsey owns the beer company that makes that beer.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Nicely done.
Not any kind of sponsorship or anything.
No,
just
No. It's all good. Yeah.
Kelly's
good.
Kelly's a beer guy, and love this?
Yeah.
I might grab that for Kelly.
There you go. All right. Well, enjoy the rest.
If Kelsey
of
made drumsticks, I would have brought those back.
Maybe next time.
We will see you all coming up tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the rest of your day.